Hello and welcome to GFW Radio. It is August 14, 2007. I am Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of Games Windows Magazine, and gosh, it feels like it's been a long time since we've done this.
It's because it has been a long time.
Oh, yeah. That's why it feels that way. I'm here with, we're minus a Sean Elliott today, but we have three other editors, and they are
Ryan Scott,
Darren Gladstone,
and Sean Malloy.
So what are we going to do without Sean? Somebody else has to tell griefing stories today.
More griefing or dick and fart jokes or some kind of random scat references.
Heroes of the Web.
Rap.
We're actually going to talk about PC games today, I guess.
I guess we'll have to.
I had one little griefing story in my head because it happened just about an hour ago before we came on, or 2 hours ago. So I wanted to share this with you. And
do tell.
Let you guys know if it ever happened to you in WoW or any other game. So I was fishing. Because fishing is something you can do when you're actually like trying to do something else, like work or talk on the phone. So I could sit there and just hit click the fishing thing, and so it casts a line in the water, and then some doofus frickin' tauren ass monkey gets in the water where I'm fishing and like sticks his body like right where the fishing line is. So then you know what that does is it you know. Negates my ability to be able to click on the bobber to get the fish. And then I would move, like I thought it was a coincidence, like this dude's just in the water. So I move the fishing line and then he swims over and moves so he's under the line again. So I can't fish.
Griefing
like,
fishing.
What the fuck?
Okay, who's
I can't even I don't fish know. Without being griefed? Yeah. What is that?
Let's call the guy out. Who is it?
I don't know if it's worse that you were actually fishing or worse that he was griefing your fishing. That's sad.
Griefing fishing. Yeah.
He has nothing better to do.
Exactly.
Than that.
Like, so you really not have anything better to do with your time in the middle of the day on a Monday? Really?
I mean, same can be said for you as you're sitting there fishing while you're.
Well, I guess that's why he was griefing me. He was like,
well, that's
me
that
message.
Actually is my problem with World of Warcraft fishing in general is the fact you have to click on it. Because if you do want it, it's like it should be something where you can just like watch TV and idly do that.
Yeah.
In the background, but you can't because you have to watch your screen precisely for the moment that bobber hits.
It really is the it's worst annoying. Thing in WoW. Ever, I think.
It's
the worst play mechanic.
Is there anything that can automate it?
Well, they need a fish bot. That's the thing. All you're doing is watching. You click on you throw your line in the water, and then you get the progress bar, you know, going in reverse from right to left. And sometime during the course of that progress bar, you'll see a little, you may or may not see a little splash in the water.
And, then you
and
click,
at that and precise you moment, you have to click it, and maybe you'll get a fish or not.
That was their solution to fish bots.
Right, but you have to click on the thing. Right, if you even turn away, for a second, you might miss the splash, and then you have to start over again. So you actually have to watch the fucking progress bar.
So why
it's
were you
stupid
fishing?
Well, that's another.
exactly.
Isn't fishing very, very
it's
profitable?
Helpful. It's helpful for, like, yeah, you're selling your stuff. I mean,
no,
it's helpful
no,
for
actually,
like making food for like raids and stuff. That's what I use it for.
But. It's a stupid reason. Okay, for one, I was trying to do, like, you know, low-rent work at my desk, so I couldn't really play. Couldn't, like, you know, play, do a quest or whatever.
Nor could you do your work, apparently.
I couldn't do my work either because I had to watch the progress bar. I might as well just have been in a raid. But also, there's a quest in Terrakar Forest that requires fishing. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to get all these fish. I have a feeling you could probably kill the mobs around there and get the fish, too. But I wanted to get them out of the lake because I'm stupid that way. So anyway, the moral of the story, there is no moral. I got griefed while fishing.
While fishing.
And I thought you were going to talk about griefing during lunch.
Oh, that person.
Never mind.
Oh, being griefed by the lake.
Real life
lady
griefing.
Who, yeah.
Real life griefing.
Yeah.
She was awesome.
Yeah, we got, those listening should know, if we sound a little traumatized today, because the four of us here left a burrito place in San Francisco and were mowed down by some aggro, I don't know, 50-year-old woman, or I don't know what her deal was.
She just blew past us. I don't know.
Well, she pushed, elbowed Jeff out of the way and like
she's
totally, staggered.
She'd be like a linebacker. I don't know what.
Yeah,
the hell.
She like pushed me out of the way.
I just loved her response after Jeff says, "Excuse me," and she goes, "Yeah, excuse you."
Right.
It's like,
hey, I'm walking here. Yeah, that was a weird moment.
How dare you get in her way?
Yeah, that was odd. Do we have that little authority? We're getting pushed around by 50-year-old women.
She's probably a listener.
Yeah. Hey, well, fuck you if you're listening.
That's right, lady. You think you're tough on the street, but here in this podcast.
Yeah, here in the podcast, when you're way down the street from me, I'll kick your ass.
Relax in our little studio.
Okay, door. So before we came on, we were all talking about what we were excited for, which is what everybody's excited for. So we can't really talk about it yet because we haven't played it yet. But BioShock. Yay!
I'll be playing it tonight, downloading it off. I'll be downloading that demo.
That was one slow download.
Yeah. Well, they sprung it on everyone last night, and I think it was a big surprise. So everyone just went, oh, my God.
Right. But you would think Sunday in the middle of the night, you'd be clear. I guess not.
Yeah. Well, that's a good sign for that game.
That's
I think initially, like, what, 9 years ago now, when BioShock was first in its infancy?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, I bet that game gets, like, critically praised, but no one buys it.
There is a story up on Kotaku today about how that's an interview with Ken Levine. Actually, I think it was linked from Kotaku. So sorry if I'm not getting the credit there right. But about how Ken Levine had to shop this thing around for forever to get a publisher.
Well, I remember
nobody wanted it.
Well, I remember what happened back in the day was they actually fished that the initial story that went up on, I think it was GameSpot, was basically a last effort to try to get someone like interested in getting this game.
Mm-hmm.
So when they ran that preview and they saw how many hits were up, people like were just all over the net getting crazy about it.
Uh-huh.
Publisher started stepping up all of a sudden.
What actually happened here that made it get so, like, become the it game? Because really, it wasn't even that long ago, a year when there were still previews going on. It wasn't quite all that yet in gamers' minds.
Well, I think as people saw more and more of the game, because they held back so much for so long, you never really got a good vibe for what the game was about.
Yeah.
Well, now that's not the case for
sure. Well, now it's everywhere.
Overexposure.
Oh,
Yeah,
I've actually, I mean, the biggest...
I stopped reading.
Yeah. Seriously. The biggest compliment I could pay to any game is that I don't read the previews anymore. And, like, Sean, I'm sorry. I know your story was awesome, but there were so many spoilers.
It really was awesome.
I just...
thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that.
But I so did not want to read it because I didn't want to spoil the experience.
Yeah.
And it's gotten to the point, I warned Amy that I'm going to be emotionally unavailable when this game comes out next week.
We got a letter... saying someone complaining about that preview because it was too spoilery. And it was like the first hour of the game.
Right.
Like, I spoiled the first second, and he was like, oh, you should have put a spoiler warning. okay.
Yeah, I think the demo, if you haven't played it and you have Xbox Live, is the first hour too, so you may want to watch it if you don't want the spoiler there. Tom Chick was up on his website 2:45, and he was saying, do not play the demo. Don't play it.
Just buy the game.
Yeah.
I think if you know you're getting it
tongue in cheek, but he said he sort of meant it. Yeah.
Well, actually, I guess if you play the first hour and you see things you want to do differently when the final game comes out, that's probably a good start, a good thing.
So let me ask you guys a question and answer honestly, because we all have PCs and Xboxes. You have one now, don't you, Ryan?
Yeah.
Are you guys going to play on the PC or the Xbox?
Neither.
What?
You're not going to play
it. You're not going to play it?
It's a first-person shooter.
Oh get over it, man.
You're like triple fired.
Wow. It's like we're going to fire you.
We all fire you.
We're going to fire you, hire you, and then refire you just to make sure you get the message. Holy cow, dude.
I don't know what to say to you. Ryan.
I have a hard time with first-person games.
Playing them or the motion thing?
Do they make you nauseous?
Do you get nauseous of it?
It's like
that'd be fair.
I can't deal with, like, the camera. I can't
third person can you
enough.
Deal with? You could deal with third person?
Yeah, I mean, I can see all around me with third person.
Do you have trouble walking?
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I mean, like, I can't.
Real life. Do you have a third person camera for real life? Here I am, walking down the street.
I get that.
Walking for real. Like, walking in the game.
Now chewing gum.
You know, I mean, like... Whenever I would try to play a game in deathmatch or something against somebody, you know, you have people like Sean Elliott who are jumping all over the place like maniacs, you know, like.
Well, that's what the console version is for.
I'm like trying to turn around, and by the time I can turn around to see like what's seeing me from behind, I'm already dead.
I get it.
You know,
I actually get that with console shooters. In console shooters, I feel like you do. When I'm playing Halo or whatever, I don't have that mastered at all. The strafing.
I can't stand the lack of.
So can you not
vision.
Circle strafe? Can we ask this in public? Can you circle strafe?
it's a very private question.
He doesn't even know what that is.
Probably means no. Wow.
It's been
we
so
need
long.
An aptitude it's, test it's next been... editor we hire.
Have you tried playing console first-person shooters since you've like decided you can't play PC first-person shooters?
Is it a matter of the speed? Because like, I know it's like you're saying...
Console ones are harder for me than PC. Hmm. I've tried like Halo and Halo 2.
They're supposed
2,
to be like dumber for you.
Now, one of these two guys said a minute ago, So that's what the 360 version is for, right?
That would be me.
You said that. Because can't you, in Bioshock on the 360, do you play it behind over the shoulder?
Oh, no, no, no. It's just, you know, it's got...
You just being
well, there's no one playing beside you, for one thing. This is a
oh, you just
game.
Meant...
Plus, it's
I
like, it, it's got okay. aim assist and all that.
Never mind. Stuff. Right.
It's made a bit easier, so, like, the precision isn't that big of a deal. I mean, you know, not necessarily in Bioshock's case, where it's, like, aiming for you, but it does aim for you a bit.
Well, I guess, you know, we don't have to shame you in the play.
Yes, we do.
Oh. I mean, you know, like, yeah. I'm like a diehard Metroid fan, and I couldn't even get through Metroid Prime all the way.
Really? Well, you must have been tortured.
Okay, so.
You must have been tortured.
Okay. Well, that's kind of fair, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to play the PC one.
I'm going to do the PC one for sure.
Only, mainly because of the hotkeys. Because when I was playing, it just, there's so much switching between plasmids and stuff that it just, with the hotkeys, you can just do it much faster. At least I presume I can.
I'm a little concerned about my machine. I think as long as my machine's good enough, I will play it on the PC.
And that's the trick right now with a lot of games, too.
Yeah.
We're kind of in that in-between phase where people are, like, waiting to buy that new PC.
That's me.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm having major tech problems with the existing PC at home, so it might be time real soon here.
Well, good luck playing Stranglehold while we're at it.
Really? Oh, yeah, that's right. That has that super high requirement because of all that frickin' particle shit. Is that right?
It requires a dual core.
It requires dual core.
That's so that you can watch like fruit being blown up in 8 million.
It's the doves. Doves.
So see, it's the dove card. You actually have one. Yeah, you need one graphics card just to have all the doves that come out.
One processor just for dove.
I can't tell with that game. Is that going to be good or not? I can't tell.
The guys on the console side have been really digging it. I haven't seen it lately, but
yeah, what do they know?
Well, it's basically Max.
It's Max Payne,
right? I mean,
so that's what. Yeah, I was on. I was a guest on one of them other podcasts that we have here, and that's what they were all saying. The way they were describing the gameplay, I was just like, "Isn't this Max Payne?"
Yeah.
I mean, that's
with
what
more
Max
like
Payne,
environmental
Payne was
interaction
a of
Hardball in the first place. Yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah. So
it's come full circle.
So maybe we need to have someone come down from that show, have our be our fifth chair. We could have a competition for that, and we could argue about. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't get that into Max Payne either, so it's just not my kind of game.
Yeah.
But it looks cool for that kind of game.
Yeah,
I think
it looks kind of interesting. I'm gonna definitely check it out for sure. I think I was just thinking about it last week when the news came out about the specs. I was a little, I remember we were talking about it at first.
Yeah.
I was a little like, I wouldn't say like dismissive about the specs, because my
yeah, you kind of were.
Yeah, I was like,
you're just like,
was
yeah, whatever.
I was a total ass. No, my initial argument was, yeah, everyone in the past year has got a computer that can play this game, which
right.
I still think is kind of true, but the sad part is...
Well, yeah, but that's the past year.
Exactly.
Right.
Like,
have you bought a computer in the past? Exactly. The thing is, there's always these, like, these linchpin moments in time when you buy the right computer.
Right.
Right.
And when you don't. And I guess, like, my argument back last week when I was thinking about it was, you know, when Wing Commander first came out, that was an upgrading game. I mean, people would actually buy sound cards and more RAM
right.
just to play that.
Right. We're clearly at that moment.
Exactly. Yeah.
With every new game, it's sort of like, okay, is now the time when I do it?
We're on
is
the threshold.
Now the time?
We're on the threshold of a new age.
I'm going to say
Catherine Hepburn.
Stranglethorn. Stranglethorn? Stranglehold is not the game that will make me up.
Exactly.
I mean, no, me neither.
It'll be a byproduct game that maybe some people want to check out afterwards, but...
I will say Bioshock, I mean, if I can't play it right away, I will just play the 360 version, because I can't not play this immediately. However, if it turns out I can't play it on the PC, that's very likely going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back for me.
Now,
I'm going to just have to upgrade.
Have you guys heard about anything? Like, is Bioshock going to be, like, you know, moddable in any way, shape, or... I can imagine it will be, considering Irrational's been pretty good about that stuff.
I don't know.
Well, I just think about it this way. Like, you know...
Probably.
When Oblivion came out, I was like, okay, which version am I going to play? And I played the console version because I wanted to see it on the big screen and, like, that whole majestic, you know, view. Mm-hmm. But then a couple months later, like, when I had finished the game and all that stuff, and, like, you see all these mods that came out from the end users... on the PC version.
Yeah.
And I was totally left out in the cold.
I never know.
I never did anything with the Oblivion mods.
Oh, you should, man. There's some great stuff out there.
Yeah, I played it on the
PC
for that reason, and then I didn't.
I did that a lot. I'm like, oh, I'll be able to, like, play this game for 900 years.
I'll be able to create my own maps. Oh, wait, I don't give a shit about that. I forgot. But I could if I wanted to.
I mean, most of the time, I don't even finish the game they gave me.
You hateful, lazy bastard.
So I'm don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty happy for Irrational. I'm very happy for Irrational.
You know, one thing I'm sad about.
Yeah.
I mean, 2K Boston.
2K Boston. Well, that's sucky timing. It's still them, though. I mean, at the end of the day.
We can't complain about name changes.
If anybody can't, it's Games for Windows, the official magazine. Yeah,
Glass Houses.
It's fine. It's a name. It's them.
Right. It's still there.
And it sounds like if Ken Levine is to be believed, and why not? Because he's a stand-up guy. That they're totally cool with it. They're like, hey, 2K made this possible. So
right.
Very true. That's
2K.
A good point.
Right. But you know, Freedom Force freedom. 1 and 2, neither of those. I mean, they were critical favorites. I don't know who bought them. At all. Did they sell 10 copies? But those were awesome games. And so
yeah.
it's so great to see them actually have, well, we don't know it's great yet, but what looks like it's going to be a great game that is also going to be popular. You know, that's like, it's like a good guys winning sort of story.
I haven't been this excited for a game in a very long time.
And actually, this
honestly,
is,
like and, years.
Yeah. And this
yeah.
is all- And,
yeah.
this is a holiday season full of games like that where I'm just like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff to look forward to this holiday.
In terms of shooters, for me, I don't know. This goes back to like Half-Life 2, maybe? I can't even think of another one that seemed like that was so big in my mind. Mm-hmm. And Garnet on One Up Yours was saying, best shooter he's ever played, period.
Period.
And we called him on it quite a few times, and he kept backing up. I don't know what that says.
Well, we'll see.
Maybe it says something about him.
We'll know soon enough.
I always hate hyperbole, but this could be one of those games.
Been getting good reviews so far. We can't wait. And hopefully next week. Wait, it comes out what day?
The 21st.
Tuesday, right?
As far as I know.
Yeah.
Damn it! So that's after the next week's podcast.
Yeah, so comes out the 21st, I'll be sick on the 22nd.
Yeah.
Just predicting that right
Maybe
now.
We'll just call it a sick day here at work. Sean Malloy, I think you're going to get to play it this week, aren't you?
That seems to be the plan.
So I wonder if you're going to be able to talk about it on Ye Olde Podcast.
Well, I can't actually.
Next week.
He must be able to because
probably.
If it comes out that day, then our podcast.
We just won't want spoilers. That's all.
We'll talk in vagaries.
Yeah. Meanwhile, somebody asked on the message board at 1UP asked me if I thought it was worth playing the System Shock games, and I said unabashedly, yes.
Hell yes.
Play them. And they're probably cheap now.
If they're still available. Yeah, actually, they should be still around.
I think they are.
Actually, if you do find System Shock 2 somewhere, there's also a texture upgrade patch.
Oh, that's right.
That some modders created years after the fact.
Oh, so, I forgot about that. Yeah, right.
So I forget the name of it right now, but you should totally, you know, check. If you do find System Shock 2, you should definitely check that out.
I bet that game still totally holds up, even with somewhat outdated graphics.
Sure.
You should go back and play it, find out.
Well, maybe I will.
All right.
Maybe you will.
Fine.
Maybe I won't.
Jeremy could do a Retronauts on it.
Yeah. I just finished the Fear single-player campaign again last night.
Spooky.
And any better than the second time run?
I liked it a lot. I liked that game the first time. It did. There were a lot of hallways.
Yeah.
I was about to say.
That was one hell of a corporate building there, you know? A
lot of hallways and staircases. But still, the AI is great. The atmosphere is great. Playing that game with headphones, a lot of fun. Good story too.
Did you find yourself jumping back a lot, like the second time through?
You mean out of fright,
or just kind of like you know?
I had a couple moments. I definitely did.
I always wonder that, especially with like you know a game you've played before, and you kind of know, okay, this is the part where Alma comes out of, the side.
Mm-hmm. If you'll get it again.
Exactly.
Oh, sometimes. In some cases, that makes it even better. Because, like, you're like, oh, this is that part that freaked me out last time. Oh, here it comes.
I really did like when, I mean, the only times I think I really jumped is when I thought I was out fooling the AI and got, like, snuck up on, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. You know, there were a couple times when they just, like, got me and I was like, you know, just like that. good game, so. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see what they come up with next.
What will they come up with next?
What will they do next? Those wacky kids in Monolith. does anybody always... Should we hit more what you're playing, since we're sort of talking about what we want to play?
Why the fuck not?
Okay.
Get angry. Fuck yeah.
That's a lot of F-bombs playing. In this week's podcast already.
We have to make up for last week.
What, when we didn't podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. Ryan?
Well, since our last podcast, I have replayed a lot of the old LucasArts games.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Except Loom.
What?
I did not play Loom.
What led you down that path?
I just wanted to play them to see if they held up over time.
And did they?
A lot of them do. I played through Day of the Tentacle. I played through
Huzzah.
All three paths of Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis.
Which I think is one of the best ones of the
great,
bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be my favorite.
I'm doing Sam and Max Hit the Road right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to do the Monkey Island game.
Is Zach McCracken on your list?
Zach McCracken is a game I tried to play. That's a game I've never quite liked.
That was my first one, and I loved it.
That game doesn't give you enough hints.
Oh, I don't know. How does that differ from the others?
I think the problem is like each game has their own kind of unique game logic.
Yeah.
And if you don't get the logic of the game...
Zach McCracken is very strange from the start.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's...
Did you guys play these games? Did you play any of them without hints or walkthroughs?
I think I played all of them without hints.
At all? You never needed a hint for any of the puzzles?
Trying to remember, maybe the latter day ones when I had it, like internet access.
Uh-huh.
But like with Indiana Jones and
I guess back in the day that was
and Maniac Mansion and stuff. It was all me.
Yeah,
I was obsessive. I played a lot of those.
When I was a kid, there was one game that I forget whether it was the original Space Quest or one of the second ones because I wasn't used to the logic yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those games that I really had to like consult a cheat book for. You know, the ones that I actually had with highlighters.
Yeah.
So you'd like, by the end I was like, damn it, I don't want to confess that I need the help on this one. So I was like.
I think Day of the Tentacle was one. I loved that game so much because it was so funny. Mm-hmm. But I think I had to keep going. It was like CompuServe or something. I kept going to one of those old online BBSs to get answers. And I would read the answer and go, my brain would never have done that in a million years.
There's a couple.
Weren't there any that you were like, I should have thought of this?
Totally.
Yeah, of course.
Day of the Tentacle was, you know, back when I was 13 or whatever. That was a game that I recall having a very hard time with a lot of the puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And going back through it, it's like a lot of the clues for a lot of the puzzles are very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that's probably because, you know, I'm like kind of vaguely remembering like, oh, yeah, this is what I had to do here.
Right.
But
I think Darren's right. It's like your brain kind of gets trained to think that in that cartoon logic or whatever.
Which is why I thought the new Sam & Max games were so good is because they totally like just latched back onto that.
Yeah, they did.
You have been trained to do this.
Yeah.
These make sense in their own crazy way. There's only like maybe one puzzle in the whole series that made me go, eh.
There are a couple times when I cheated out of laziness just because I wanted to get, I just wanted to get to the next step. I was like, okay, and then when I would read it, I would go, oh shit,
yeah.
Duh, right.
It's always stuff like that. Okay. Just because of the nature of those, like something you think should work, like because you're not hovering over the right place at the right time, it's not working, and then you don't realize it.
The great thing those games do is when you go to do the obvious thing, that of course is never going to be the answer, ever, and they always like call you on it, you know. If it's like there's a lever to pull, you know, when you pull it, then the character who's standing there will always like insult you, you know, like, yeah, I thought of that. Nice try. Whatever.
All right. What do you think was the, I think I know what everyone's going to answer on this one. What do you think is the stupidest puzzle, Lucas, Sierra, whatever?
We're all going to say that Gabriel
Knight 3
thing.
We are going to say the same thing.
Which one?
Because that's
Gabriel Knight 3 puzzle with the cat hair mustache. Like.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't play that one.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, you've missed a really bad puzzle.
There was one in Fate of Atlantis, I think. Maybe you just played this, so you probably remember. Where there's like a comb. You have to make like some sort of compass out of a comb and a needle and honey or something ridiculous.
You have to do
Mr. Wizard project, you know.
You have to tie. There's like a string or something, and you tie it to this comb, and you rub the comb with a scarf to charge it with static electricity. The clues are in the game to tell you that these things that you're looking for respond to static electricity. So it's not
okay. It's set up a bit.
It's set up. I mean, you
wasn't
get some clues.
When I played.
But the thing is, that item, if you play on either of the other paths, there is a different item that accomplishes the same thing, and you're told in specific terms that that's what it's for. So if you played the other paths, I think you'll have a better idea that hey, this is.
All I remember about that is when I was playing that game, I was playing on a friend's computer in college, like in the dorms, and he had already finished it. And he told me, he's like, there's going to be a puzzle, and it's going to have a comb or whatever it was, and you will have no fucking idea what you have to do. And I'm like, oh, I'll figure it out. And I was like tearing my hair out. I didn't want to ask him, but it was just driving me insane for days.
But you had never played the other two paths of the game.
No.
This is what game?
Fate of Atlantis.
Fate of Atlantis.
Yeah. I think I diverted from your Gabriel Knight 3 thing. What are you going to say about that?
That's fine. Well, the thing is, the advantage of the LucasArts games or any game like that is like they can have that cartoon logic where the answers are ridiculous because you're playing a cartoon.
Right.
But if the game has any kind of like supposed realism to it and then they have that kind of puzzle, you're just like, what? Like, do you ever, Robert Coffey used to tell the story about, it was also a Sierra game. I don't know if it was Phantasmagoria or it might have even, Gabriel Knight. It was the wallet under the couch.
I think it was the same game, actually.
It might have been the same game where, you know, your character's wallet is under the couch and there's a whole puzzle to get it. Like, there's a mouse under. You have to get the mouse under there, so you have to put cheese to get the mouse, so the mouse pushes it.
But
out.
Right, you're like
whatever.
But
Robert's like, why
being.
Can't I just fucking reach under the couch and grab my wallet?
I drop my fucking wallet. Right. Pick the damn thing up.
And the notorious puzzle that we're all thinking of is from Gabriel Knight 3, where the protagonist has to go somewhere in disguise, and so it's a she, right?
It's a guy.
Oh, it's Gabriel Knight.
Yeah.
Right. But apparently, it's not Gabriella Knight. Gabriel Knight has to go somewhere, and he needs a mustache to take a photo for a fake passport picture. Is that right?
It's more absurd than that because the dude in the photo that you're trying to disguise yourself as, he doesn't even have a mustache in the photo, and you draw the mustache onto him.
Oh, you draw the. You're right.
Right.
And but then the making of your fake mustache involves like syrup.
You have to get like a piece of
syrup
of
cat hair.
You have to get you have to like trap this cat or get this cat to run through a fence so hairs come off. So then you could take syrup and stick the hairs onto the syrup so they'll stick to your face.
Is this one of the FMV
stupidest
ones?
Fucking thing.
No.
Oh,
no,
okay. That would be even better.
No.
Yeah.
Watching that in full motion video.
Oh, and awesome. That was that to us. Yeah, that became the CGW like classic.
Well, that's everybody's,
no.
You know.
Yeah. No.
There was this whole thing. Did you guys ever read Old Man Murray?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
There was this whole thing where Eric Woolpaw from Old Man Murray is just going off about that puzzle and how that was like the death of adventure games.
Yeah, that particular moment.
It kind of was. That was where we all jumped off the ship. You know, the blinders came off. We weren't in the Mooney cult anymore. We were like, this is fucking stupid. No! I'm not putting syrup on cat hairs and sticking them to my lip? Fuck you. You're an idiot. They said you were a genius game designer. Screw you. Yeah, so Roberta Williamson sort of like left the industry, the designer of that game, who in fact
no,
was...
No.
Not, sorry.
Jane Jensen.
My bad. Jane Jensen.
Roberta Williams had some similar awful
right,
last
she did.
Games.
Yeah, they both had similar awful last games. I mean, really, those games were kind of a product of the time, right? I mean, it was harder. Well, that's oversimplifying it because you could still do them now. But I think they were caught. That was at, you know, around 1998, 1999, and Half-Life was coming around. The shooters were coming around, and it was sort of the idea that you could set an adventure game sort of gameplay mechanic in a 3D world or in some like real world. It didn't mesh, except for Myst.
Why?
Not great.
What the hell?
What the?
You like Myst?
Did you like Myst?
I did.
Myst. I played the first one.
And Riven. I loved Riven.
Really?
I'm crazy though, huh?
Yeah.
I was on board for Myst.
I like the abstraction of it. I thought it was.
Well, come on. I mean, at the time, it was truly different. Wouldn't you give it that?
Yeah. You want no logic? I'll give you Riven.
It was different.
I thought they were cool. I mean, you know.
I did not understand this whole Myst Online thing that was around for a little while, though.
I don't think a lot of other people understood it.
Is it still on?
It's through GameTap now.
So you could actually play it online now?
Yeah.
There's like one guy right now standing by a giant gear
waiting for someone else
to log on. I know if we just push this gear, that part of the island will rotate.
Somebody else do it.
And then I can finally finish this game. Please, someone log on. Anyone?
He's like the old errant. He's like the errant knight from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, waiting for someone else to show up. Yeah.
There's 9 million people in WoW and one guy in Myst Online begging for help.
Yeah.
So you were talking about LucasArts. So what were the ones that didn't work for you?
The one that I thought didn't quite hold up to like what it was in my memory was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Hmm.
Which that was the first LucasArts game I ever played. So.
That's the one that didn't hold up.
Yeah.
And why?
Wasn't that was that the one with consequence-free conversations just kind of keep rolling?
Was the one before that. That was the one that Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade was one of the few LucasArts games where
you could
death was consideration.
Yep.
And so you guys have all seen the movie. There's this whole sequence where he's wandering around Castle Brunwald looking for his dad, and you're doing that in the game, and you have to you get into all these conversations with Nazi soldiers. And the wrong conversation choices lead you into fight.
The fights sucked.
And the fight mechanics in Indiana Jones games were really, really bad.
Yeah.
And if you lost the fight, you died. So you would have to... There would always be like a correct conversation tree to get through. Each soldier had like a specific thing he would respond to, and like he would leave you alone. But like it was all trial and error figuring out which one goes to which soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And that part, like that was like 50% of the game's puzzles. It's like these conversation puzzles. Yeah. So that it's very frustrating because it's all just trial and error.
And Monkey Island was after this one, right?
Yeah,
because that's when they came up with insult sword fighting, which was so much
that
better.
Was so fun.
Oh, that was
loved
great.
The insult
well, Monkey
fighting.
Island was the point where, like, when you were presented with a conversation, you could say whatever you want.
Yeah.
And there was never a consequence,
right?
And you're always
it was
tempted
still challenging.
To choose the stupid
it's,
one.
It was good. Yeah,
you know. So
that's my personal favorite LucasArts series is the Monkey Island.
Oh my god,
games.
I love it.
Yeah, but the third one was by far like was just so well done on every level.
Which that was
the one with the
return
the,
or
the cartoon
that was the animated looking one.
Yeah. Oh my god, that one was so good. But even the one after that, the 3D one, was still funny.
I still liked Escape From, even though it didn't have the the same people stuff. Still good.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they'll do a new Indiana Jones game with the new movie.
Well, didn't
probably
they already
won't
well,
do one
well they already had that demo at E3. I just don't know if it's coming to the PC. It better.
I mean, it's not like an adventure.
It's a threat.
It's more of an action game, I think.
No, they're not going back to those, I don't think.
I mean, like after that, they started like Indiana Jones and the Infernal Machine and Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Tomb, and they're sort of like Tomb Raider-ish games.
Yeah, they pretty much mothballed their whole adventure line. It was kind of sad. I mean, like, from doing back the Sam and Max story back in the day, they have a finished game somewhere sitting on a shelf, basically.
Of
that,
what?
That last Sam and Max game? That basically
but didn't that look like shit when we saw it?
You're
thinking of Full Throttle.
Oh my god! Yeah, that was like the happiest I ever was to hear of a game cancellation. Thank you for not shitting on one of my favorite games. I mean, we were so happy to hear about Full Throttle 2 at first coming.
At first,
and then we saw it. Like, oh dear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Combos? There were combos in that game? I can't remember.
I think
exactly.
So. The whole demo was like, it was like a fighting game.
It was like an
action game.
Yeah, it was a Grand Theft Full Throttle.
Yeah. Ugh.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
It was pretty awful.
So what else are you playing, Ryan? Or is it the LucasArts games enough to keep you busy this weekend?
Well, I've been kind of slowly going through those for the last couple weeks. About it.
Give Zach McCracken a chance.
That's all we are saying. I tried. I loaded up Zach McCracken.
I was so into that game. I'm sorry.
I was looking at an FAQ on GameFAQs just to see like what kind of the progression was in those first areas. And it's like stuff that I would have never have thought to try. Or, you know, I don't understand people who like that game.
I was so into that game that I figured out how to play the theme music on piano.
Oh, God. Wow. Thank God, man.
And everything.
Zach McCracken has a good... Wow.
Sean Malloy has a problem we didn't know about.
I think we have our next
I'm
intro.
I'm obsessed with transcribing sheet music of video games.
Sean, I think we might have the intro for our next podcast right there.
Yeah,
I just pull out that sample.
I must confess, there are plenty of video game themes and other like movie themes and stuff that I have taught myself how to play on the keyboard by ear. Mm-hmm. So,
you know Zelda, here. I assume.
Oh, I know Zelda. Okay. I can do Zelda. So I can do Monkey
too?
Island.
I'll have to do a Zelda fight later.
Wait, how does Monkey Island go? Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, I'm just gonna
let's spend the whole rest of the podcast.
I can do LeChuck's theme.
Oh, wow. Okay,
I'm just going to bust out some Axel F. And just...
This is going to be great for someone's commute.
Wow.
Going to work.
and now
I can play the Metroid theme in piano. Can you?
Dang.
I can't do that one.
And now the GFW 8-bit symphony.
I didn't know there was such mutant talent. Who knew?
Oh, yeah.
Who knew?
This is definitely
we'll
a talent.
We'll have an all-singing podcast one of these days.
GFW. And now,
GFW's Got Talent.
GFW the musical.
Yeah. Darren, what about you?
All right. Well, kind of going off Ryan's tip, I actually found a piece of freeware this weekend that I thought was kind of interesting. It's called Fate by Numbers. It's a full motion video graphic adventure for free. It's somebody just
full
put together.
Wow.
It's a sci-fi noir, kind of like Under a Killing Moon, mm-hmm. Blade Runner-ish kind of style. It's a 1.2 gig download, but it's actually pretty cool.
It's full motion video.
Full motion video.
So they got actors.
They got actors. Total throwback to like 99. Wow. Was it 97?
Even the like that's the 3D rendered backgrounds look like they're from Under a Killing Moon.
Is it?
Yeah, totally.
Is it on purpose cheesy, or is it not cheesy? Or
it looks cheesy.
It looks cheesy, but unintentionally so. So it's still kind of basically.
Oh, it's not intentional.
Well, I don't know, but I think that it's the way it was produced. It actually reminds me of like. I wouldn't be surprised if someone would have paid money for that game back in the day.
Hmm.
So it's an interesting graphic adventure, and certainly it isn't, you know, a bad, mm-hmm. you know, just download it overnight and check it out the next day kind of thing.
So is it the same, it's the same style of gameplay as
totally.
Those old games? Like,
well, there's like, you know, there's obviously, you know, conversations,
right.
but like you start off in your office and you search for hotspots on screen and you, mm-hmm. you know, call up, or turn on your computer, check out your emails, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say full motion video, I think Phantasmagoria, which makes me cringe. So
there were a couple good ones.
Not many, but there were a couple.
What I saw when you were playing the trailer for that game looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever play Spycraft?
That
was one of the great ones.
Mm-mm. Activision. That was a good one.
Uh-huh. And it just reminded me because of the saying, you know, turning on your computer. Like in that game, they actually used. It made sense. They had you do things that made sense for the fact that you were sitting behind a keyboard and a screen.
It was like a mini games almost with these little things like one part reminded me of the Gene Hackman movie The Conversation.
Right.
Where you're trying to triangulate.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you had to like triangulate the sound. Yeah, to eavesdrop on conversations. That stuff was kind of cool.
That was pretty cool. I mean, there are some games that, you know, there were some, you know, FMV games that actually were decent.
Gabriel Knight 2, which I believe we gave our Game of the Year award.
Gabriel Knight 2, that's right.
Yeah.
Not, I was trying to get the numbers right. Yeah, we did give that the Game of the Year. That was the same year as everybody in the whole planet Earth gave it to something else.
And did you regret it?
CGW gave it to Gabriel Knight. This was before I started. I just remember it was right after I came on and people were still kind of shaking their heads.
Was it Grim Fandango?
No.
No, that was later.
Much later, right?
Was oh,
like,
that was,
was like
okay.
Doom,
was Grim Fandango was the year that was
that
98
was
which was the
right?
year of Half-Life 1, StarCraft and Grim Fandango.
Oh my god.
All came out in
That's
the
like
same year.
The greatest year ever.
It was kind of the greatest year ever. And Half-Life pretty much got them all. I remember Blizzard was so bummed out, you know,
because right.
they made StarCraft, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's a hard
how does that not get Game of the Year? But
That's
Half-Life
hard.
Was, you know, fucking you couldn't deny it. And then Grim Fandango got totally shut out.
Was Doom 2 the same year as Gabriel Knight 2?
Maybe Doom 1.
Doom 2?
I don't think Doom
1 was
earlier. It's 95, right? I think.
Damn it, Wikipedia, where are you?
Yeah.
Well,
whatever.
All right. Well,
the PC Gaming Authority.
You're listening to it.
You're listening to
it. I could probably play it on piano, whatever it is.
You know what we need us down here is... we don't know shit, but we can play... Any game tune for
a bunch of musical savants
just
here.
Just ask us and we'll hum it. Anything else?
World in Conflict.
Yeah, you got that running.
Got the gold up and running last night. I was out of town, mm-hmm. but when I got home, that was the first thing I had to do. And man, that game looks awesome. It just looks so beautiful on my computer.
Are you playing it in DX10 or 9?
I'm actually playing it in Vista, so I guess that'll make it DX10.
Uh-huh.
And, I didn't. I'm actually trying to figure out. Right now, I'm running into some hitches at work, but at home, it looks great.
So this is Sierra's.
This is Vivendi's.
Oh, here you go. Angry Ryan stepping up to the bat.
I can't help but notice that there's a Sierra, a big, nice, old-style Sierra logo when you start the game.
Well, I don't really know why they're using
that, because they are called Vivendi Games.
what is your deal?
He's an angry one-man
Don Quixote like rant against... What's the story there?
They don't get to use the name Sierra. God damn it.
So what, you're saying this in your official legal capacity as...
Yes, as reputed editor.
Judge Ryan says. Judge Judy here.
I see.
You can't use that name.
Exactly.
Until you bring back Leisure Suit Larry and do it right, you cannot call it another Sierra game.
I can use it for my fan remakes.
I keep getting this game mixed up with Universe at War.
There's a lot of things at war.
Something in something. Universe, world, in...
It's like Steven Seagal movie title syndrome.
You know, they should location just, in... Yeah, in trouble.
You know, they should have just called the game Red Dawn. People would have gotten it in 2 seconds.
Oh, is that what... Okay, that's right. That's this game. See?
There
it's a problem. I can't remember. But, right, this is the one with the Ruskies attacking.
It's just the world, not the universe. Universe implies, you know...
There's some big shit going on.
Uh-huh, right. That game looks cool, too.
That game is cool, too. Actually, so I played that last
week. Do you
get
to play as the Ruskies in World in Conflict?
Yes, you do. Both.
I'm sorry.
Please. Da tovarish.
I'm just getting in character.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, actually...
Tommy Redfinks.
back in time.
Uh-huh. That's right. Dial it back to 86. Uh-huh. No, but... yeah, so in multiplayer, I mean, obviously, it's, you know, you could do... Ruskies versus U.S., whatever. But in the single-player campaign, at least as far as I've played right now, you start off as basically U.S., and you go through the missions. I'm getting to... I think you get to the point where you switch sides and get their side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But what little I played so far, it's... really well done, really structured well. Actually, I was really impressed by like how much of like the game starts off in Seattle, and the fact is they have so much detail in this. Like, I was actually just curious. I was zooming down to like street level, like right next to a tank or right next to the characters, you know, a trooper, like, you know, basically some stupid little unit, and it looks so amazingly detailed. Like they, like this engine is crazy powerful.
The gameplay itself are the are the missions like. I mean, is it like a Company of Heroes style thing?
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
is there a resource gathering at all, or is it all just
wasn't it more like ground control?
Well, it is like ground control because it is from those guys.
Right.
So, I mean, like you have points allocated. You can choose what you want to call in for the battle, but ultimately, what those points generate back. So, like you have a set number, and as you accomplish more goals, that number increases.
Right.
So you can like like for example, like a tank is a light tank is like say 500 units. You use that, and let's say your tactics need to change. You can say, okay, I'm going to get rid of that tank. Mm-hmm. It takes a couple seconds for that 500 unit credit to come back into your account, and then you can go buy something else.
It's a teeny bit like what they're talking about with StarCraft II. Little bit.
What?
The starting missions, you know, the way you're going to be buying you're going to be buying units in StarCraft II rather than following it.
In between missions.
Uh-huh. No, this is actually...
You start off with
this is
right?
During...
This is actually during the campaign. So, like, this is actually during a mission.
Oh, during
a
mission.
So, basically, like, on the fly, on the fly, you're actually making all these tactical choices and switching it up. And it speeds up the pace and makes it roll a lot smoother than your usual RTS, where you're, like, you're following a tech tree and you got all this crap. Basically... The stuff's there, and as long as you have the number of units to afford it, you can just have one tank, or you could have a whole bunch of, you know, anti-tank troops. I mean, it's just a matter of how you want to play the tactics.
I would like to play it. If my machine would cooperate, then I will. Is the game out yet, or did we get it?
We got Gold Code. It's coming out pretty soon.
It's gone gold, people!
Gone gold!
But there is a lot of good stuff.
And for the five like uber-rich people on the planet, it supports dual monitor support. So... Hit a toggle and you can have that beautiful graphics across two screens. Yeah, I'm not that insane. The only reason I bring that up is when I was at QuakeCon, I saw a couple people with like those kind of hardcore setups
at QuakeCon,
watching porn, no less, of course.
Really?
Seriously? That was definitely a sketch moment. Well, they have this huge like you know they have the bring your own computer. Total segue. They have this whole bring your own computer area.
Yeah.
And there was like I think. I gotta say, roughly 2,800 people in this huge room. You know, they bring their own rigs. They have like modding competitions for their computers, and they're playing. Like some guys are sitting there around the clock playing. other guys, you know, go out and drink afterwards. But like, there's some people. I saw some dudes like with porn on their computers. Like, I guess during the low tide,
they went to QuakeCon, and brought their own computer, and watched porn on it.
I know. I was kind of.
They're comfortable enough to just whip out
the porn. They weren't.
Hey guys, I'm gonna whip it out here. And
oh no, you know what? I did not see any of that. Although there was one picture allegedly floating around the web.
Yeah, I saw that.
That must have been so doctored, but. Or he's holding a hot dog. Or something,
I guess you got to feel pretty comfortable in your environment if you're just watching porn at QuakeCon.
You're among friends at QuakeCon,
right? Who isn't doing that? You're thinking.
I'm thinking that.
Right.
That was That's pretty sketchy. But yeah. Aside from that, it was actually kind of a cool show. But
cool.
Yeah. Aside from that,
that guy thought he was so awesome.
Dude, I actually had that video.
Look, guys, I got porn.
Couldn't he wait? Really?
No, he could not.
I guess he couldn't. I guess the answer is no.
I'm just my thought was, don't you have a room in the hotel? I mean, yeah. Is it really that important?
But again, apparently yes, it was that important. Maybe the site had just uploaded, you know, the new stuff that day. You've been hitting refresh.
The latest update was finally in.
I was like, oh, it's a Brenda. I've been waiting for this.
All right, let's move on. Sean Malloy.
I've been having a lot of tech troubles.
Have you now?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Kind of better. It's weird. We're still trying to figure it out. So the second
game part.
Time is either WoW or tech support. So we've got like what? No, three cards.
I've now given him like half my graphics card supply just to make sure to find one that works. We put in an
ATI 2900 XT,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, really good card.
Yeah,
put it in, ran worse than the piece of crap that came
shit.
In it. It was baffling. We were like, why? I couldn't run things over like, you know, 1024x768.
Small problem.
And yeah, it was like slower than the old card, which you can now get for like $30 or whatever at CompuSafe. So we had no idea what was going on. We stripped out the drivers. We put new one driver. You know, so then we put like something that was like a step back. The 1650.
It was a 1650, I think.
So it's still good.
Mm-hmm.
So now that runs okay, but it's mm-hmm. still not quite as good as the old crappy card, and we have no idea what's going on. So I think we're gonna. The next step is like either new machine or like just try.
What do you have? The
start over with Windows thing.
Well, what do you have right now?
Duh.
I mean, like,
I don't know. Some computer from a couple years ago. I don't even remember anymore.
The PC Gaming Authority.
Again.
I
got it.
Well, this is Keith's machine.
What do you call it?
My machine is, like, worse. Like, we don't even use it anymore. I just use my laptop. So any hardcore gaming, I do on Keith's machine. And he bought it, so I don't really know what's in it.
You know, I bought a Dell laptop, an XPS laptop, no less. So a good one. Less than a year ago, and the frickin' battery is dead already. I mean, I already had to replace
fully dead?
It. I had to buy a new one. $160.
Is this part of the Sony like batteries? That, like, they had a recall on
no,
Sony.
No, it wasn't part of that recall. Nope.
Huh.
Battery lasted less than a year.
Wow, that sucks.
Doesn't that suck?
That really sucks.
That does suck. I've had a Vio for 3 years, and it has been the best, most stable computer in human history.
Have you not replaced a battery?
Nothing.
Wow,
It's never crashed.
Wow, I had the exact opposite experience with the Vio.
Really?
It was probably the most unstable machine I ever used.
It was unbelievably good. Now that I've said that, I'll go home and it'll explode. Right. But hey, 3 years isn't bad.
I got rooked. Oh, I got to tell. Can I remember the last time we podcasted and we were telling?
Not really.
Sometime a while ago. We were talking about doing tech support for our friends and parents. So I got another one from this weekend. She reminded me of when you were talking about doing tech support. My dad called me up Sunday afternoon. I'm like trying to just enjoy my day. And Jeffrey, I'm having a problem with my laptop again. So the problem is like his wireless network. He's on his laptop and his wireless speed has gone way 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 down from an excellent signal like to very low. So I figured right away, well, he just glommed onto somebody else's wireless network in his condo thing, which actually that did turn out to be the problem. That was exactly what it was. But all I wanted him to do was take the mouse pointer and put it over the wireless icon so he could tell me, you know, what it said there for the name of the network. And we spent 15 minutes while he's like, I can't get the mouse. I can't move the mouse pointer over. I'm moving the mouse and it's not going over to the thing. And I'm like, okay. let's check, is your mouse plugged in? Well, where do I check that? So we're like going through all this shit. We finally ascertain, yes, his mouse is plugged in. It's all hooked up. I had him go into the mouse control panel, all this bullshit. And
mouse control
panel. When it was finally all said and done, the reason why he couldn't get the mouse pointer over the icon was because he was moving the mouse to his desktop computer, which was sitting next to his laptop computer. So he was actually moving the wrong mouse around.
Oh,
that was
God.
The first 15 minutes. So imagine how long it took to ascertain what wireless network he was on. Yeah.
Oh, man. You know what? I have infinite respect now for anybody who does phone tech support, like for Dell or whomever.
I was thinking that at the time.
Holy yeah. shit.
Okay, Dad, let's start over. Yeah, the mouse, is it in your hands? I just felt like one of those guys, you know, you're talking to from India.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Oh, man.
That's my Sunday. So we're gonna take a break, and we're going to come back with very, very important topics that you've all been waiting to hear us talk about for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So we're finally getting to those, so yeah. You don't want to miss it. We'll be back with all that big stuff you've been waiting for.
3, 2, 1.
Listen to EGM Live, the weekly podcast for Electronic Gaming Monthly, available every Monday for download at egmlive.oneup.com or podcast.oneup.com or the iTunes Music Store.
Sweep the lake!
Sweep the lake, Johnny.
Sweep the lake!
So, we're back. And now, finally, we're going to get to all that stuff.
This list is huge.
Thanks for waiting, and I know you've been really impatient and excited to hear us talk about it.
What are these things?
What do
Jeff?
We got? I don't know. What do we have?
Well, what happened to BlizzCon?
Oh, we could
dare
talk
we
about
talk
BlizzCon.
About the BlizzCon?
We could. We talked about it a little bit on Legendary Thread, but there may not be a lot of crossover there between Legendary Thread and GFW listeners. Also, it was a long time ago. Now.
It was.
It's kind of ancient history.
Yeah, technically.
However, it was a good show.
It was.
Very good show. I highly recommend to anybody who has the time and the money to get yourself once in your lifetime to one of these fan conventions of some sort. Because they are really a lot of fun.
They are. They're awesome. The panels are so entertaining. That is what I go for, I've decided.
Yeah, they really are.
You couldn't, like... I know it's hard to imagine sitting there for 2 days to just hear about one or two games. In this case, two, but like the first one was really just one game.
Mm-hmm.
But I could do that for 3 more days, I think.
It really is incredible. I mean, I would assume that any MMO or any game really that has a passionate audience where there's a lot of decision making going on and there's a lot of identity with your own character is going to draw... you know, really impassioned people to it. So it's always the 2 years they've done at this at BlizzCon, the big panel is the character class one. So you've got members of the design team up on the stage, and you've got hundreds, thousands of people sitting in the audience, you know, booing and yaying and
I was just gonna
throwing
say.
Things and lining up, you know, this endless line of people with questions.
Oh, God.
You know.
The longest panel ever.
In the last patch, you took down the priests. Whatever, you know, it's the most random minor thing. And, you know, their faces broadcast on these giant, you know, auditorium-filled screens. These, like, horrible, you know, nervous, pimply guys with these, like, really specific, dorky questions. And then the greatest thing is when they ask it and they, you know, if they've asked some, like, popular question about, like, the last time, you know, that when Priest got boned in the last patch, you know, if he brings up that issue, you know, there's like 1,000 priests in the audience who are like, ah! You know, a big roar from the crowd. You know, it's really a funny experience.
I just have this image in my head of some oversized dude with like arm fat dangling. He's going, ah!
Well, there is quite a bit of that. Yeah,
a lot of that.
Yeah.
It's pretty rad.
And lots of great questions. And the Blizzard guys like took it in pretty good stride too, you know.
Oh, yeah, they totally do.
Yeah.
You know, they laugh off the, you know, dumb questions just like the whole audience does if you ask something stupid. Watch out.
Yeah.
But yeah. They're good entertainers too up there.
Mm-hmm.
Did they come up with anything? I mean, did they say anything cool? Like, what are they doing? Anything? Anything big in the next patch? I mean, what was ascertained from this
There's
panel?
Some sort of expansion or something.
Yeah, there's a big expansion, which...
No, this
from this specific panel? I didn't go to that panel. Jeff?
From that panel, yes, they talked. They warned the warlocks that there's out there, including me, that there's probably going to be a little
be a nerf
of,
coming,
nerfing coming up
Woo!
For us. Yeah. So yeah, so I threw some shit at the stage when they said that. Yeah. I actually rushed the stage and hit one of them.
No, you will not.
What else did we learn? They talked about how they're going to speed up the leveling now in down the line. The 20 to 60 path is going to be sped up, the leveling progression.
That is good.
Nice.
Yeah. So since we've all done it like 800 times now, yeah. They're going to give us a break down the line. So
that's awful nice of them.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah. Is there anything else really to say about the show? Another great BlizzCon fact that you haven't read or heard about elsewhere in all the various other media is that on the second day, on the Saturday, a bunch of us were out front, and there was a very, very serious-looking, important religious convention. Some kind of...
I believe it was Couples for Christ.
Couples for Christ convention happening in the same auditorium. And it was the most awesome juxtaposition because you had people dressed up like, you know, Tauren chieftains and warlocks.
Right, and the warlock demon costumes.
Warlock demon costumes. And then you had these people coming in for this Couples for Christ thing. And what we were really just regretting was that there wasn't just a gigantic Diablo head on the front of the Anaheim Convention Center.
There was no, like...
Diablo welcomes you.
It's like, oh, too bad they didn't, like, announce a new Diablo game or something. People running out of the auditorium. Diablo is coming in 2009!
Yeah, that would have been the most awesome slogan for both conventions. Diablo is coming.
They actually could have shared...
They would have all been, yes, he is! And we would have been, yes, he is!
They could have shared money for the sign. Coast brought to you by BlizzCon End.
So that was pretty funny, though. We really
it was funny to us.
It was funny. We were thinking
ourselves
like,
with that.
You know, the Anaheim Convention Center people may want to sort of think about their scheduling options.
Eh.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what did they know about? They didn't know Blizzard was like, you know.
Not have the satanic, you know, game players in at the same time.
It's more pagan than satanic.
You're right. We're more pagan.
Not nearly as religious. There was a similar kind of juxtaposition in at QuakeCon.
Yeah.
There was at the same time, they had all, like, you know, however many thousand gamers there. There was, I think, like 4,000 or however many thousand Mary Kay cosmetic saleswomen and 1,000 accountants. So I was like, here you have like these heavily made up women from like the Midwest versus with guys, you know, coupled with guys who are, you know, really need to take, you know, shower a little more often.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say like the Amish.
Yeah. And
QuakeCon
the Amish.
And Quakers.
There probably wasn't a big crossover with the Mary Kay and QuakeCon attendees.
You'd be surprised, Jeff.
Well, I talked to a couple of the guys, and they actually tried picking up a couple of Mary Kay cosmetic saleswomen.
Oh, yeah. It was, sure they did.
That was comedy in action, I'm sure.
The ones who weren't watching porn on there.
Hey, I got some porn on my computer. You want to come check it out?
Yeah. So that's our convention report. Hope you liked it.
We'll probably go into more of this on Legendary Thread, too.
Yeah.
That's more its domain.
Yes.
And like you said, they announced a WoW expansion.
They did announce a WoW expansion. Now,
I guess it's on our next cover.
It is on the cover. We don't like to, you know, pimp our magazine every once in a while.
But go buy our magazine.
But go buy our magazine, Games for Windows, the official magazine.
Cool.
On sale now. Yeah, we got Sean Malloy went and saw. I went with him.
He went too.
But he did all the work. So he wrote the Wrath of the Lich King story. And so this is pretty much the first expansion, kind of like the upcoming Guild Wars expansion that is, I think, really, you know, it's for the long-term players.
Yeah, it's just endgame stuff.
Right. This is not the noob expansion.
Right. There is no new race, no new newbie zones.
Right.
I'm not so sure I'm crazy about that, to be honest with you.
I am.
Well, you haven't put in the 8,000 hours like Sean has. So.
You're not still playing WoW anyway, right?
I want to go back to playing.
You can't. The new stuff doesn't even matter until you're level 70.
Right, and I'm not.
So
and I'm
that's
not,
why you don't care.
That's exactly it.
I care.
I have problems with commitment, obviously.
I'd rather have them focus their efforts on endgame stuff than new stuff. Like, it was fun to do, you know, Blood Elf territory and Draenei territory just to do it.
But do we really want to do that again?
No.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. Which is why I'm also awesomely excited about the way they're doing the Death Knight
Right.
The hero class. Like, when you unlock the hero class, you start at, like, what, 50 or 60 or 70?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool. I can that is all right.
But you have to get to 80 first.
That's fine. I can deal with that.
Or can you?
Mm. At some point. We'll see. It'll be a wow watch for
I'm
me.
I'm not
as
even at 70, so.
So basically, the Death Knight is an alt that you don't have to grind up.
Exactly.
Pretty much. That is exactly
that's
what
awesome.
It is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's how they plan on doing all the hero classes.
Wow, Ryan got it in like 5 seconds. He understood what it has taken other people weeks, and they still don't get it. I salute you.
Seriously?
This makes up for you not playing BioShock.
How is that difficult?
It's not difficult, but
it's
not.
It's so easy. How the hell could you not get that? Seriously.
That's a good question.
You should have been at BlizzCon. or even in the first demo that we got of the game.
Yeah.
I hate to say. I'm not going to name names. There was another game journalist in attendance.
Oh, name. No.
Well, we don't even really know him, and frankly, he wasn't American, which may be part of the
problem.
Could
have just been a language barrier.
Not because he wasn't American, but he didn't speak English as a native language. So, but there was a little bit of, so explain this again. When my character hits a certain level, then I become a Death Knight? And they're like, no. After you hit a certain level and you do this quest chain, then you will unlock the ability to create a new character that will be called a Death Knight. So I'll be able to use my priest skills then as a Death Knight? No, see, because it's a whole new character. It's not your priest.
Oh, okay.
But...
And then like a half hour would pass and it would come up again. But it's like, oh, wait, so back to the Death Knight. So are both my characters on the screen at the same time? That was actually a question that
was
asked.
That was a question.
Yeah, can I control both at the same time?
Yeah.
I chalk it up to language barrier. Uh-huh.
Right. So, but and we said, still. And you know what? This is why your country's so fucked up, Luigi.
Well.
Holy crap.
I'm just kidding.
Luigi.
I'm just kidding.
Whatever country you're from.
Yeah. Whatever, yeah.
Fill in racial epithet right here.
Wow.
Okay.
So you got it. Yes, it is a high-level alt.
Have they talked about other hero classes?
They have not. They're going to do one at a time here. Mm-hmm. You're going to get it right once, see if it works.
They said they fully intend on adding more. That's about all they said.
Right.
Dang.
And they can do that, like, not in an actual expansion.
Right.
I don't know if they would.
The thing that, you know, people were saying, like, oh, great, so there's going to be 80 million Death Knights running around. Not really.
I think there will be a lot of them when the, you know.
That's what happens
for a short amount of time.
Introduces
yeah.
Class.
But then,
right, but
it'll,
then
settle
it'll,
down.
It'll filter settle. Out. People aren't going to like it.
You know, I know I'm going to try it.
Right. So. Well, we all will. We all tried jewel crafting.
There will be 80 million people playing Death Knight because Death Knight is one of those like cool sounding things that all the little kids will want to play.
Like you.
It's like when they introduced the assassins into Guild Wars, everybody wanted to be an assassin because assassins are badass.
And now how is it? Is it now? Is everybody an assassin now?
No.
Right.
Of course not. It'll naturally even itself out.
Everybody learned that assassins.
I went back to Guild Wars. That's the other thing I've been playing.
Cool.
I'm playing the Nightfall campaign.
You're busy.
I cannot get over the hump of this game. I cannot fully get on board. I don't know what my problem
Nightfall
is.
Nightfall is
I
the
respect
best one.
It. I do respect this game.
Are you soloing? Or are you actually partnering up with people? Or?
I haven't played with other humans. I tend not to like other humans.
And that's the problem.
When you get going and you unlock some of the hero characters, you'll start to have a lot more fun. Those make the game way, way better.
Yeah.
Yeah. They make it feel sort of like a single-player RPG in a way. And that, you know.
Which is a great thing for an MMO.
Well, it's this
it's not
so
an MMO.
Weird.
I know.
This
I,
is
I,
like I, halfway I, between, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Are the
I like it too.
Are the groups, are the people, is the player community cool?
How do you mean cool?
Well, are they people you'd want to, like, you know, hang with, you know, at a Radiohead concert and smoke a joint with? No, I didn't mean that at all. I just meant
which
I don't know why I said that.
Which group
that.
Of players?
I don't know that I'm
I don't
the best
like to do that with.
Nobody. I don't even know why I said that. I'm free associating because I'm tired. I mean, are they evidence. Like, could you, can you go into like the general area and say, you know, LFG for whatever and get three people who are going to be cool and not be dicks?
Well,
and,
are
and
you
play?
A monk? Are you a healer?
I'm a necromancer.
If so, yes, you can get a group anywhere.
Oh,
if
so
not,
you have to be a warrior or a healer, just like every other game.
That's how
I
it
mean,
works.
You know.
Okay.
Everybody wants.
But do people? But my question is: do people play well? Do people play?
I'm assuming there's some that do and some that don't.
It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, wow, there's some jerks and there's some. Mm-hmm.
And you can
trick us with them out.
Find a guild that's not a bunch of idiots and you're good.
Oh, I guess there probably would be guilds, wouldn't there?
In Guild Wars? Yeah. perhaps they're having some sort of skirmish.
Let me draw you a map.
Maybe I'm missing the point of this game.
So you're a necromancer?
Yes.
Necromancers get badass.
What's your alt?
My alt profession?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, honestly, I'm just like one level below that. Because I just restarted.
You can change that later. So that's not like a permanent commitment.
Okay. They don't have a very good name filter in this game either, I've noticed.
Yeah, there's some people with some pretty retarded names.
Yeah, my first two characters, they're all still there, which is kind of weird all these years later. They're still living on the server.
Yeah, they don't erase.
Neglected and forlorn, but there was I'm a loser, and that's first last name, I'm a loser, and mm-hmm. I'm a moron. And my guy today, who I created this morning, was I'm a retard. But
they were fine. They're fine with that.
Yes, I'm 45, and I.
That's like, did you ever read any of those old Ultima Online comics from I'm a Newbie?
No.
He's a very famous Ultima Online personality.
Okay. I always spelled it like retard was R-E-H-T-A-R-D-E. I'm cleverly trying to avoid any filter crackdown. Because I'm smart that way.
Yeah, you are.
Well, you dodge the police on that one.
Yeah.
And Guild Wars, it's great. Like, you'll go into certain specific zones, and you'll see just, like, dozens and dozens of monks / mesmers or whatever the popular class is with just, like, garbage names, like, obvious bots. But there'll be, like, dozens and dozens of them, like, all standing in the same place and going through the same, like, script.
Bots?
Yeah, like gold farmer bots.
Gold farmer bots.
Guild Wars has kind of a problem with those, yeah.
Wow. But we're putting Darren to sleep over there.
Whoa. MMO talk boring.
What are the other crucial topics that we've been holding out on?
Well, let me see. Is it worth talking about all the stuff from QuakeCon? Because, I mean, it's kind of like weeks old at this point.
Tell me about it. Other than the guys
wasn't
with
there,
the porn.
So I can't.
Okay, other than guys with porn.
Tell us the exciting id news.
Well, let me see. There's a couple bits of news. The first one being the actual engine itself, the id Tech 5. The demo they had, basically, they had the same textures, the same assets, and they had the game running on a Mac, a PC, an Xbox 360, and a PS3.
All at the same time?
All at the same time. All the same code. So basically,
wow.
Well, yeah, I know.
Is that bad news for PC gamers, or does it not matter?
The interesting part is that, you know, it's actually good news because it makes, if it's as simple as like flicking a switch and saying, okay, let's make the game available on these platforms, it reduces costs, development time, you know, and we get more games. Mm-hmm. That's only a good thing. I see it. The only thing is the engine doesn't use DX10, so it's not going to look as pretty as like, say, Crysis or something.
Why would they do that?
That is weird.
Well, that was a conscious decision of CarMax for a while. It's like he was never sold on what DX10 can do. And So he's talked to us about that in the past in the magazine. He's been on record saying multiple places that he doesn't really see the big deal with DX10 right
Isn't
now.
Isn't that a bit of a smack to Microsoft?
Yeah, absolutely is. But then again, if you take a look at the demo that's out there for Rage, their first game showing off the engine, it looks kind of cool, but at the same point, it doesn't look like, holy crap, this is Crysis. Mm-hmm.
Is it brown? Well, their games tend to be brown.
Well, actually, this is actually like a lot of outdoor stuff here.
Rage. Okay.
So yeah,
is it brown outdoors.
It's like walking
through a cesspool. No, actually, it was. It's all right. It's like what they showed right now. They're saying the game is going to be like a 50% run and gun. You know, action game. First-person shooter, and then it's also going to have racing, you know, driving elements, so you can hop in and out of a car whenever you need to. The video that they put up there makes it, a lot of people thought it was like, just MotorStorm meet with an FPS, but I think they sold themselves short in that video. Let me see, the other big news, Steam.
Yeah.
The big announcement was like they're selling all their old games on Steam, which, duh.
They're there now, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. They have the id Complete Pack or something like that, or is id Super Pack, where it has every game from Doom 3 Resurrection of Evil back to, like, Commander Keen pack, which I was also playing this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Nice
these games are awesome.
Were these games mm-hmm. not available in retail, like those really old ones anymore?
Well, you could like buy. You could either get them off eBay, some of them, or you could get them like some of them are being offered on the id site, but
yeah, having them one click away on Valve is on Steam is pretty sweet.
Yeah, it works pretty well too. I mean, I played a couple of games. I'm probably gonna check out Return to Castle Wolfenstein again mm-hmm. in a couple of days just getting myself ready for Quake Wars.
Do they have Wolf 3D on there?
Yeah, they have it all. Everything's there.
You know, they need to get all the old Apogee games.
That would be cool. Rise of the Triad?
There's like all the original man. Duke Nukem games and like Crystal Caves and all
the
that
Steam
stuff.
Library is getting pretty sweet there.
They got some great stuff there.
Yeah.
And one other bit of news from the show, speaking of Steam, Valve. They had a booth there. Valve had a booth there showing off Left 4 Dead. Actually, it was a playable demos, and it was kind of funny. Like here, like they have all these games being demoed. There was an Activision booth. There's all this other stuff going on. And as soon as they let down the ropes to let people in for the booth part of the show, mm-hmm. everyone ran and like ran toward the Left 4 Dead booth.
That's
and like
awesome.
they were lined up around to play that thing. It was awesome.
That game looks so rad.
It really is. I played for one mission, and I was about to get back and like go in line or something just to play it again. It was really cool.
It seems like this is a bit of a sleeper, sort of. Or not a sleeper, but just sort of...
It kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if they were necessarily expecting it to be mm-hmm. that big a deal, and then everyone's like, oh, zombies! I want to play zombies!
Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't finish the UI for the zombies, so I couldn't play as the zombies, but I was watching guys from Turtle Rock, developer, work, you know, playing as the zombies.
Right.
There's some really cool stuff they could do. So, like, let's say you're playing as, I think the Boomer is one of them, this big, fat, bloated guy. He can vomit blood, and, like, when you you vomit blood, you blind somebody for a couple seconds, and then you run into the midst of them, and you blow up.
And plus, I think the vomit also attracts the swarms of other
totally.
Zombies.
It sounds
too,
like QuakeCon cool. attendees themselves. They modeled it after their own.
You got the AI from their last conference.
You feed them one more chicken wing, and then they just kind of...
Blah.
And these are fast zombies, not slow zombies.
Oh, the fast zombies.
It's definitely 28 days later zombies. But the game was, I mean, it has those, like think like in Counter-Strike where they have objectives, but instead of having like some kind of, you know, map or some kind of like direction saying, okay, you have to go here, it was all very contextual. You knew where you had to go, and your characters actually communicate with each other. So like, let's say I'm reloading, your in-game it says, oh, you're like, I'm reloading, and it communicates that to your other players. Or if you see that subway up ahead and it goes, oh, that's the subway. We should go. You know, that's safe. Or like it kind of like as you're playing, it's kind of like the game itself is giving you cues as to where to go, kind of logically without kind of pulling you out of the game for a second.
It's super co-op driven. Yeah,
it's,
for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of hard to explain until you actually play it. But the thing is, like, you know, like without a map, an overhead map or anything that kind of pulls you out of the experience, it's telling you, it's giving you all the cues you need onto where you need to go. And it's very naturally, almost like you're watching a movie or something.
Right. This is coming out after Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, I think it's like I think it's talking Q1 right now. Uh-huh. And I got to tell you, man, I was ready to go back and play some more, and it was getting the most attention during the show for sure.
What did you think about? I mean, Rage as a game, or was it too early to tell?
It
just more of a tech demo?
It was more of a tech demo, but you know, but the tech looks really cool. I mean, like the fact is, it's ease of use. That's what kind of impressed me.
The name is so dull to me.
Yeah, the game really
Doom, Quake,
Rage.
Yeah, it's part of the four letter or five if you're crazy.
Woohoo!
Prey. Uh-huh. Shooter.
Right, but the general idea was like it's I just totally lost it for a second. The general idea is that it's just supposed to be like I think like kind of Fallout-ish, kind of post-apocalyptic, dealing with the fallout of the world, and it's they've consciously said they want to make sure that it's not just like this running around in dark corridors kind of game, because they don't want to make another one of those. So it's outdoors, open. You can go in and out. You can run into caves if you want. There's a lot of stuff that's gonna happen.
Caves.
Holy cow!
That's not indoors.
You should have called it cave.
Well, whatever. Cave. Son of a
cool. It sounds pretty damn early then.
No, they really didn't have much to say. It's just kind of like a teaser at this point.
They have, I mean, really the truth is they've kind of morphed away from being a company that we actually expect games out of as more like a tech company in a way.
I know, but it's kind of funny. Like every one of their past games, though, everyone's all like, oh my God, the new hotness, the new tech, and like they usually turn to like an id for like the oh my God graphics. Mm-hmm. And here this time, people are just kind of like still kind of like holding up to Crysis and going, well, it looks pretty good. But I think,
yeah.
But the impressive, but I think the cool part is like you can have a lot of texture detail that kind of loads in on the fly. And that's kind of the whole point of this game is that you, theoretically, if it works the way they're talking, there'll be no loading levels, or at least like once the level loads, it's kind of like the textures are loaded in as you're playing. So it like for example, you walk up to a wall, and it'll look like not grayed out, but it'll a lot more detail will naturally appear as you get closer. Mm-hmm. So you can, I mean, it depends on how much time the artists want to take on it.
I don't know how much time I want to spend in my games walking up to walls.
Yeah, that's
kind of stuff.
That, as soon as they start talking about how that's working, I'm like, eh, whatever.
Well, think of a game like Quake Wars. Quake Wars mm-hmm. uses the first generation of that kind of tech. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of like an evolution of that. Mm-hmm. Plus, it also works for multiple platforms. That's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
That's well, that cool. Yeah, it's the multi-platform scalability thing that'll be...
Exactly. And mm-hmm. like, you know...
I mean, it'll mean... I think to me, it'll mean a lot more console-y games coming to PC than, like, PC games doing on the console. That's what I would imagine be the natural fallout of this. Like, kind of like Strangle... Keep calling it Stranglethorn.
Yeah, Stranglehold. You gotta wow.
Get out of WoW, man.
John WoW's Stranglethorn.
Doves in WoW next.
I lost what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. Like, the reason that probably uses dual core is probably because, you know, it's a console game, and they're like, yeah, what could we do to get it on PC? Oh, we need a dual core? Okay, that's fine. And this, you know,
right.
That's what it needs. They're not going to try to scale
try
it down.
So lazy PC programming for the sake of multi-platform.
Develop once, publish twice, three times, four times, whatever.
Sell.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Or at least get options. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's cool.
Ryan,
stuff
is it cool?
We're cool.
Sorry.
Games are cool.
Wait, well, going back to Steam, I don't think we've talked about this, but the Steam community.
Yeah.
That was the segue.
Yeah.
Go for it, man.
Steam community. Have we all downloaded it now?
Yes, I did.
Yep.
I have not yet.
You have not yet?
No.
For listeners who don't know yet, Valve right now is running a beta program through Steam, and Steam itself, of course, is a free download, and I believe beta participation in this beta is totally open. So you could check this out yourself now for absolutely not even one penny. Just download. You're looking at me funny. Is that right, Darren?
No, that's absolutely right. Actually, okay. I was just like thinking to myself, how was it you get to it? I think it's like you go into the settings panel, and then you check off
there's a
participation in the beta program.
Participation in the beta program. It's just a pull-down menu. And you could check this thing out. And basically, if you do check it out, this free beta, you're going to see games for Windows live, basically, in action for nothing.
It's a big old F you to Microsoft right now. Yeah. Is what it amounts to.
It's pretty sweet. I mean, I don't know.
You know what's pretty cool, actually, is that
I mean, I don't know what to say.
It's,
you know, we've harshed on Games to Windows Live before, and, you know, we've said pretty harsh things in the magazine on this podcast, and I kind of have wanted to back off from that and let Microsoft do its thing. But now you've got Valve coming out here and do a beta that's like every single thing that it seems to me that Games to Windows promised it was going to do, and here's Valve doing it for free.
That's right. I saw Ryan, like, was telling me that you were on, like, last week playing Geometry Wars. And it was telling me it was working exactly how Live should work, or will work.
You got your buddy list right there. Mm-hmm. There's a very absolutely simple and very nicely implemented shift-tab mechanic there, which will bring up your Steam community interface and your buddy list. You can add, this isn't just about Valve games either, which was a nice little mm-hmm. mini piece of ingeniousness, but you can add non-Steam games on there. So if I'm playing World of Warcraft or whatever it is, Guild Wars, all my buddies in the Steam community can see that I'm doing that.
Actually, it wasn't letting me do that. I loaded in like Stalker and a bunch of other games.
Uh-huh.
It just, whenever I was in a game that wasn't a part of Steam, it just said in-game. I think it's just a matter of like you have to load in the information for Stalker.
Well... Yeah, maybe this is part of the beta. I mean, right. I added those games in, the non-Steam games, and they showed up in my own list on my PC as right. non-Steam games, but I don't. But you're right. I haven't seen it work with anybody else's machine yet.
Right.
So, you can put the overlay on it.
You can put the overlay on, though. Yep. Yeah. I was playing WoW, and I could Shift-Tab, and my Steam list came up.
Oh, yeah.
No problem.
Oh, that totally works. I mean, the only thing I was saying was, like, for example, like I was playing Stalker, and people could say that could see that I was in-game, but they couldn't
couldn't see that it was... Right. Whereas, like, when I was playing Psychonauts last week, which I downloaded from Steam, you could tell that I was playing Psychonauts.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But... Are there
but
Steam
I couldn't tell if you were sucking
it or
belt there are not Steam achievements.
Oh,
not yet.
I got to tell you, I'm not a big fan of Steam or any achievements.
No, I don't really. I don't give a crap.
You know what? It's funny is that I have been. I wouldn't go so far as to say an achievement whore. Maybe an achievement, you know, streetwalker. No, that's not right. I don't know what the right metaphor is.
Escort, perhaps.
I like it. Yes. Okay. I like getting the achievements, but. I don't make a big deal out of it, but I did think that was going to be cool in GFW Live, that I'd be able to get them on my PC, but I haven't even thought about that running the Steam thing. I don't miss not getting them.
I guess the thing is, like, I play some games, but I don't play them to completion, so I don't get all the achievements, or I just miss some points. So I see some of my – it's now turning into a pressure thing where I see my friends with their huge achievement score, you know, achievement point scores, and I have a couple – I have, like, you know, 6,000-7,000. And I feel like it's just an underachiever. I'm like, crap. This, like, I feel like an underachiever all day. I need this from when I play games, too.
So you don't need the reminder.
You're right. To me, this is just like a big, like, you know, okay, they've now proven it can be done on, you know, on our XP machines pretty seamlessly without charging anything. And it's really kind of begging the question here as to what Microsoft is...
Well, this is
going to bring
this
to the
good.
Party
this,
here.
This will inspire Microsoft to create competition for it.
Competition's a good thing.
I sure hope it doesn't inspire.
Yeah, this is why competition exists.
Right, and Microsoft usually squashes competition, but
let's
see how they handle this.
Let's see how they handle this. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah,
I would like them to see, like, on the I don't know how they would do this, but on the your buddy list, it would be cool if they integrated like AIM. Usage or something. Into
well, there is. Chat. Well, you can Messenger.
Well, but I know.
AIM
I mean,
itself?
Like, AIM.
You mean actually integrate like Messenger or something like that?
Right. So I could like see my AIM buddies from that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the next step.
I don't know if that's part of it. Yeah.
There's no way you're gonna like steal all of AIM's mind share.
Well, no, of course not.
You know, I wish it was just like integrated.
Well, I wish they worked with somebody like Trillions, just kind of get everything as a portal, you know, ported in.
That'd be pretty rad. Cool. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so cool so far. And
it's free.
And
can't
it's free,
argue
yeah,
that.
If you have the time, I would go check it out. You don't even have to download any Steam games, you know, to do it, just to have that interface, just to check that out. So
like, how far along is beta, have they really said?
They didn't really say, I don't think.
Does it, like,
it hasn't been up for that long. So.
Have you noticed anything beta-like about it, or is it just totally just a...
Well,
I mean, when you open your overlay on some games, like it'll noticeably lag.
Yeah, it's a little... It's rough around the edges, for sure. This is not, you know, you can't go download it now and think, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. It's a beta, you know, so things aren't always going to work that well. I think that the interface needs a little needs a little polish. I've never been a big fan of Steam's kind of like that sort of, you know, pea soup green color they've got. It could be a
you
lot
can
more.
Change that.
Can you?
Well, this might be a new feature of the
I don't know.
Beta, but there's different
can
themes
re-skin
that
it?
You can pick from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you turn it to Freeman Orange?
I don't know. That'd probably be a good one.
That's the color of my bedroom.
Can you do the theme song?
To my bedroom?
No. To Half-Life 2. To Half-Life 2, I meant.
I don't want to know that. That's
yeah, you know, I don't want that theme
that's
song.
Too much information. Yeah.
Don't go there.
Please.
Yeah. All right. I think we're going to wrap this week up.
Before we do, one thing. I felt really bad that we didn't get a chance to... Actually, we all felt bad. We didn't get a chance to do the podcast last week.
I don't feel bad.
Except for Ryan and except for Sean. Okay, in other words, screw you all.
Yeah, I didn't feel bad either, Dan.
All right, screw it. Well,
Darren feels bad, so.
In that case,
Darren felt bad for you.
That's right, because I care, damn it.
He cares.
And I also happen to have an extra MP3 player in the office. So I'm going to be giving one away this week with the past 2 months of podcasts on it.
God, it's like a booby prize.
And you can't delete them.
When you get them.
And they're locked.
Sorry, and there's no room for anything else.
Except for a picture of Ryan.
So giant pictures of us, too.
So this is not an iPod, correct?
This is not an iPod.
Not an
this
Apple
is,
brand.
This is it. Oh, fuck iPod. This is the...
Well,
hey.
I agree.
Thank you. No, this is the Zen Stone. It's a 1 gigabyte MP3 player. Nothing too big. Nothing too fancy. Okay.
But it's free.
But it's free. And it also comes with a little sound, with little speakers you can plug into it. So.
Oh, that's nice. External speakers?
That's right. So you can basically, you know, pretend like you can like let everyone on the bus listen to
that's rad.
The podcast. It's like a nerd boombox.
No.
So wait, are we having a contest for this thing?
Well, that's the thing. I'm trying to figure out, like, I was hoping you guys could help me out. I didn't get a chance to sit down and think about this.
Live on the air.
Live on the air contest.
We're supposed to figure these things out before we go on.
All right,
that's
fuck
how
it.
One Up Yours would have done it.
Oh, that's right. They would have,
you know.
How about, I'm thinking of a number.
Yeah. All right, forget it. You know what? Kill this part of it. We'll give it away next week.
This is live
radio.
We're
just having fun.
All right. Okay, by the time you hear this, my words now, there will be a thread on our boards about this free MP3 player.
Perhaps we'll even put this in our GFW radio blog.
Maybe we will.
Mayhaps.
Mayhaps we won't. And there will be
promises.
And there will be a contest, or not, for this MP3 player.
Or it might be just something as lazy as the first one to PM me will get it.
Maybe that's all it'll be. Okay.
Or maybe we'll forget to do any of that stuff by the time this goes up.
Because we're kind of...
And that MP3 player will sit in the same pile with my Heroes 5 tarot cards.
I have one of
you
my...
still have those?
One of my friends...
Yeah. We had that contest before I started, by the way.
One of my friends, who is probably listening to this podcast, was one of the lucky winners of one of those tarot decks.
Fixed.
And he harasses me regularly about, like, when the hell is Jeff going to send...
What's his name?
His name is Ryan Coyne.
Ryan Coyne, if you're listening, I'm getting to it. And I suggest that you probably keep just bothering Ryan about it here.
So it's been like what? Like
keep sending him emails and aims.
It's been like a year.
Heroes 5, everyone's already uninstalled Heroes 5.
We'll see
just continue to use your existing tarot cards.
You're right. Don't substitute for the Heroes 5.
It'll be ready in time for Heroes 6.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll be back with more nonsense next week. Are we the full crew next week?
Who knows?
Who knows? Who cares? We'll be back in a week. Can't wait to talk to you again.
Signing off.
Bye.
I can wait.